Feminists Without Mystique, a podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting fire hose of bullshit in the news through an unapologetically feminist lens. Each week, we begin by venting about the news, go deep on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines in a segment called We See You, and then we'll end with something hopeful.
Yeah. Impeachment things are happening.
Yeah, it's kind of like while we're in the thick of impeachment, it's hard to really think of a whole lot else. There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, like,
always
spooky stuff. The, you know, virus.
Coronavirus.
The coronavirus going a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah. Did you hear about that woman who was coming from China and she had like a fever and a cough and she just like took medicine to like control the fever and like hid the cough because she was going to Paris and she wanted to eat at like a Michelin restaurant.
Oh.
And then she like Instagrammed about it.
Oh my God.
It's like how selfish. I know. But turns out she didn't have it. She had something else. So she didn't infect a bunch of people in France. So that's nice.
That's nice. It's.
Yeah.
It's just. That's not cool.
Top news. Did you hear about Pete Buttigieg and the cookout question?
No.
Oh, my God. He was asked what he'd bring to... So, you know, he's trying to connect with black voters.
I'm already uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. And so he was asked, like, what would you bring to a cookout? And he's like a breakfast cookout?
What?
And he's like, no. Yeah, not a thing. Certainly
First
not
of
a
all,
thing. Certainly not a thing.
Why would that even be?
No, it's not. I think he's just trying to find brunch out of all of this. But and the interviewer was like, no. And then Pete was like, chips and salsa.
Oh, Pete.
I know. I just got a kick out of that.
I mean, couldn't you, like, oh, okay.
Anything. I know that, everyone on the internet was like, just bring the foil, Pete.
Yeah.
Just bring the foil.
Oh,
bring
my
some
God.
Beer.
Bring more ice.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that.
Breaking.
Yeah. But that's further evidence that he's robotic. He's got some issues.
Yeah.
One thing we aren't going to spend too much time on, but obviously the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi and the seven other people on board that helicopter. Mm-hmm. But how it also is complicated.
Yeah. We'll have to, like, maybe just dive into that at some point.
Yeah.
It's complicated, but, thoughts and prayers, but, like, actual, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Thoughts to his, I think he has three surviving daughters and his wife, and he's done a lot of good in the world. And, very sad.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's been really sad to read about.
Yeah. Helicopters aren't to be trusted.
Well, apparently there have been a lot more, statistically, there have been more helicopter crashes in the last couple of years than in the past, I guess, I don't remember exactly what the statistic was, but the last 2 years there's been an uptick.
Interesting. I wonder if it's like climate crisis related and like with, you know, a lot of times it has to... From what I've seen, the crashes have to do with, like, miscalculating weather stuff.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, with a plane, you can, like, an engine can stop working and you can still be, like, the plane can be fine. But a helicopters are spooky.
Yeah. Yeah. It freaks me out. There was one, like, I think last month in Hawaii.
Yeah.
There was one in New York that was super scary where, like, it was a tour helicopter and it just, like, went down in the Hudson. And the kids had just, like, Snapchatted and it was like, oh, their final Snapchat. It was just so haunting.
God.
It was like... Anyway, yeah.
So helicopters.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Those are my top line things to, like...
You go to judge chips and salsa. Kobe Bryant, RIP.
Yeah.
I am peachy, peach, peach, peach.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to touch on? Is there something you wanted to touch on first?
No. Touch.
shot.
And the episode's over. I'm creeped out.
She's creeping over here.
She's in a creepy mood.
She's in a creepy mood. She's feeling like creepy. JK, I'm chill.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we're both just like, or maybe just I'm speaking for myself. I'm just like not, I'm just not feeling the impeachment. And we're like,
I'm just like not feeling it.
I'm feeling, I suppose more accurately, I'm feeling just deeply cynical and depressed about it. And
oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's like same, hard. Same. It's hard to even look at.
Yeah. So I guess we'll talk about it.
So let's get in there.
We're not going to give like all the deets of every day because like Google it. Mm-hmm. We don't have that much time. Okay, deal with that.
Our busy schedules won't allow it.
They won't allow it. God, get off our backs, rabid fan. Another thing. Any hoosies. So started last week when sort of the Democrats were making their case, and I thought they did a pretty good job. They used more than 50 like clips and text screen grabs and documents and stuff, and they laid out all the evidence. Mm-hmm. To like, they had this like month by month chronology of all the things that were going on. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they also kind of made like a plea. Adam Schiff, I thought, had a lot of good things to say. And he made a point about like how Trump puts his own interests number one. Mm-hmm. And like, he'll probably do it again. And he said, you can trust he will do what's right for Donald Trump. He'll do it now. He's done it before. He'll do it for the next several months. He'll do it till the election if he's allowed to. So they kind of were making very factual arguments. They were kind of appealing to any sort of ethical
ethical mooring.
Yes, any sort of that. And then they were kind of like ahead of time, like rebutting like some of the arguments that the Republicans were going to make, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Sylvia Garcia was talking about how like she kind of debunked all the claims about like Biden and Burisma and all that shit. So yeah, the Dems came out pretty strong, and the Republicans were playing with fidget spinners and
reading books and not being
napping.
Yeah, yeah, leaving the floor of the Senate, which actually is not allowed.
Yeah.
It was frustrating because there were a couple of moments where I guess Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff both sort of like said something that really offended the Republicans. Like,
oh, they got so mad.
Yeah. Schiff, I think, said something. He was quoting a paper that was talking about the Republicans, White House will have Republicans' heads on pikes. If
yeah. So, like,
and that, like, Lisa Murkowski was shaking her head and, like, I was thinking about having witnesses, but that's where he lost me. And it was just, like, and they did something similar with something that Jerry Nadler said that caused this, like, back and forth.
Yeah.
And I think that, and this was brought up in a Slate podcast called Amicus with Dahlia Lithwick, but they put it well because they called it the asymmetry of outrage on these statements. So, like, Trump is raging every day, bullying his, there are people in the Senate that say hateful, dishonest, and, like, not just unfair, but really, like, uncivilized, like it would be like not part of the decorum, those types of statements are being said every day by Republicans and like led by Trump. And so when we have like the most milquetoast representatives on the Democratic side, which would be Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, and they, in quoting a Republican, get a slap on the wrist from John Roberts, who's presiding.
Yeah.
And then they get told from like these like sensitive flowers of Republicans, like, well, no, I'm not interested because you went too far.
Too far.
Like,
by quoting something that was reported by CBS as being factual.
Just, like that sort of ridiculous pearl clutching, like, really fucking drives me nuts.
Yeah, because what does that, even if you don't agree with him repeating that CBS report, what about him saying that refutes anything you said before that would have changed your mind?
Right.
Like, you're essentially saying, like, I don't care about the facts. My fifis are hurt about this for some reason. So, like, whatever. And yeah, like, it's bonkers town.
Following the Constitution, should not be based on someone feeling like they have, like, someone's feeling offended or hurt feelings. Like, it is crazy that the narrative that arose from the Democrats laying out their case was that it was boring, dense, too long. It's like, because there was overwhelming evidence, people. Yeah. They went through the text, the chronology, like you said.
All the things.
It's not supposed to be, like, salacious. Not every, like, impeachment case is going to be about a blowjob. Like,
right? Do they want fireworks? What are they looking for?
And to cap all of this out, like, this, the outrage that we feel off, it, like, just from the purely, like, providing facts, and then the Republicans saying, well, they don't have the facts. They don't have anything to back them up. And then the Democrats screaming, can we please bring witnesses?
Yeah.
And then they go, no, bitch. It's like,
right. It's like, why not? The only... Yeah, so there's going to be a vote on whether, like, witnesses are going to be allowed, and we need, like, 4 Republican votes. And the only one who's committed is Mitt Romney, who got in trouble for bringing chocolate milk in. That was the highlight of the entire...
Oh, God.
Sweet. At least he's got, you know, a conscience, you know.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Drink your milk.
Illicit chocolate milk. And then he came back with it in a glass, and it was allowed.
Oh. Well, it was in a carton, and that was like...
Yeah, I guess that wasn't allowed. Because you're allowed to have water or milk. Those are the only liquids you're allowed to have in that room, I guess.
Why milk?
Like, I don't know. Like, that's
that
a
like
weird choice. I don't...
So weird.
No, like, maybe if you have some sort of blood sugar situation. I don't know. But, so he had his little choco milk. But, yeah, he's the one who said he for sure would. But then Mitch, apparently in closed-door meetings, was saying that they don't have the votes to stop the witnesses from coming.
Yeah.
And then one thing I found titillating. One thing that titillated me was... So they brought up Lindsey Graham. He was during, like, President Clinton, Bill Clinton's trial in 1999. He was an impeachment manager.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, it doesn't even have to be a crime. It's just when you start using your office and you're acting in a way that hurts people, you've committed a high crime. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, directly conflicts with what he's saying now. And so Nadler brought that up, which was, I enjoyed.
That's good.
It's fun. Because it's like, oftentimes you'll read on the internet about all these, like, hypocrisies and inconsistencies, but it's fun. It's always fun to watch someone be confronted with it.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't really have an outcome, it's just nice to...
It's nice to stick the knife in.
Yeah, and just twist it.
Senator Lindsey Graham.
He's a steaming pile of shit.
Oh.
What a pile of shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
The hypocrisy, I mean, go ahead and Google it. The clips are, you know, it's like Trump-level hypocrisy.
Yeah.
There was also something fun last night. Senator Joni Ernst, sort of said, like, that it's been widely reported that she, you know, was saying the quiet part out loud, which Republicans recently, because of Trump, it seems like they got a lot more brazen and just sort of commenting about, like, the most cynical underbelly perspectives of like, what could happen in politics. She's got a sneeze coming.
It went away. Oh, it's so weird when that happens.
Yeah.
It's like, come, and it's gone. Continue.
Just like my hope for this impeachment case. Do I have it? No.
Here comes Debbie Downer.
So Joni Ernst yesterday said, the Iowa caucuses are next Monday evening. I'm really interested to see how this discussion today informs and influences Iowa caucus voters. Those Dem caucus goers, will they be supporting VP Biden at this point? And just sort of commenting on the impeachment proceedings against Trump and Republican maneuvers to harm Biden, a Democratic frontrunner, in an important caucus next week, which is, I actually so naively wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah.
And because Biden isn't like my top one, two, or three choice, I kind of like don't care as a matter of like practicality or emotionally. But I am now like just so disgusted that that's something that's being like, that she would just have a press conference where she like muses about that is kind of yucky.
It's really gross. And it's just like, and so it's like we had this whole week of like Democrats laying out evidence and like well thought out arguments. And then we started, we started on the flip side this week, and they only the Trump's defense only took 2 hours and didn't really address any of the evidence in any real way.
Yep.
They just sort of were talking about how it's like a political witch hunt and bringing up, you know, Joe and Hunter Biden and bringing up all these other things that aren't what they're there to talk about. And it's, there was this funny picture of like the, you know, the Democrats like table, like sort of defense table side, and then the Republican side, and like on the Democrat side, there was just all this fucking paperwork, like stacks and stacks and stacks of evidence. And on the other side, it was just like nothing. So that's been a pretty cute to watch. They're saying that his actions don't constitute a crime, not any impeachable offense.
They're so vacuous. And the lawyers on the Trump's side are a bunch of like opportunistic like sleaze bags. Alan Dershowitz, who represented Jeffrey Epstein and O.J. Simpson.
Wow. Like, wow.
Oof. Magoofs.
A choice.
Yeah. And, like, not only represented Jeffrey Epstein, but, like, is accused of also kind of engaging in acts with underage
girls. Cool.
Yeah, so he's a piece of actual trash, and he says a lot of like, I mean, he's bad. I should have just put together a list of like offensive Alan Dershowitz stuff. But alas. Also pretty galling, Pam Bondi was arguing as part of Trump's defense team yesterday, and it's been pointed out she was a former Florida attorney general who took $25,000 from Trump's foundation as she was considering an investigation into his university. And so after he sent her $25,000, she blocked the case, hid the donation, and dares to lecture the American people on corruption right now.
That's rich.
They also didn't really say anything. You know, she's talking about, PolitiFact immediately came out and said, Pam Bondi left out key points of the story on the Bidens and the Burismas. Here are more facts. So again, like if you were watching and you thought that Pam Bondi like sounded like she was making sense, maybe just, just Google, like she was actively not, she was leaving things out. She was also talking about nepotism in kind of her conversation about Biden and Hunter Biden, and the types of like money that Hunter Biden was trying to make. And again, it's important to point out that Jared and Ivanka, they've made over $80 million last year. I think it was a sort of similar the year before. Like they are actively in there profiting off of Trump being in the White House. Ivanka is getting a bunch of different trademarks for voting machines in China. Very confused about that. Not sure what's going on.
Makes me nervous.
Don't like it.
Doesn't seem to be great.
I just saw a headline on that and was like, I don't even have time. My stomach is just gonna do flip flops. Like, what is Ivanka Trump doing?
I don't know,
and I don't like it. But anyway, so Pam Bondi, like another just like trash bag. And they don't have anything. The thing is, like, listening to the substance of what they're saying, all they're doing is this. There has never been any evidence that there was corruption with Joe Biden or Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
At the most, it's this widespread understanding and acknowledgement that he should have probably been a little bit more careful about where he was serving on the board of. But it had nothing to do with, like, Biden and, like, foreign policy against Burisma.
Not a thing. Certainly not a thing. Yeah, and then we've got some new drama with John Bolton.
Yeah.
Who used to be the National Security Advisor. And he's written a book. And in the manuscript, he says that Trump directly tied the holding back the military assistance, about $400 million, to Ukraine, to investigations of Biden and, well, both Bidens, Joe and Hunter. Mm-hmm. So we want him to go talk.
Mm-hmm. And he said that he would.
Yeah. So if we can't get four fucking Republicans to vote just to hear witnesses, I just don't even know. And that vote should happen on Friday, because tomorrow and Thursday is when senators are allowed to ask questions to the prosecution and the defense, and they have to, like, write them down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chief Justice Just will read them out loud. And I guess for some context, during Bill Clinton's trial, there were over 100 questions that were asked. So we'll
God help us. I can't imagine how many questions there are going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really imagine what types of actual questions the Republicans will have.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like, what a member Biden, Hunter Biden should mean.
Where's my chocolate milk?
But this news about John Bolton is huge, because it's the closest thing that we have to a smoking gun. It's a direct contradiction of what Trump has said by the National Security Advisor, who is widely respected amongst Republicans. He's a war hawk. A lot of Democrats don't like him, me included. Mostly because
you love him.
Can we pause and just say that the title of how dare he? The title of his book, John Bolton's book, is going to be called The Room Where It Happens, which is, of course, taken from the genius king of all people in the whole world, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and his absolutely perfect musical. And The Room Where It Happens should only ever be associated with him.
I know. It's
and
really,
Hamilton and Aaron Burr and Thomas Jefferson.
I know.
Not John Bolton.
I know.
This
he
really
took
kills
that.
Me. He's
I
taking
know.
It.
Yeah.
He is.
I know.
He's a mustachioed white little bitch man.
Mustachioed white little bitch man. Wow.
He's
coming in hot.
Taking something beautiful.
Yeah. I don't love that. I hope
if you did, I think this podcast would be over.
This friendship would be dead. Married without me.
Find another maid of honor.
God. Gotchas. Yeah, no, that's just sort of a little insult to injury there. But hopefully he will be allowed to be called as a witness. And then, I mean, to actually have the Senate trial get him out of office, I think we need 20 to flip.
Yeah.
But we only need four for just witnesses. Hear more evidence, which, like, how could you argue against that?
By sticking your head in the sand.
Oh, it's too much time. Like, oh, I'm sorry that a fair trial is going to take an extra couple of days to, like, hear witnesses.
Yeah.
Cowards.
Like, there's the cowardice, the hypocrisy, the disinterest in actually holding people to account for their misdeeds and their corrupt behavior, and obviously a complete disinterest in having a functioning democracy and having a functioning check on the executive branch. Can you imagine, if I were in high school learning about U.S. history, I would be so confused as to, like, what I'm learning versus what is actually happening.
Yeah. different things. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it goes.
Oof.
Fucking circus.
Oh, my God. Also, like, just, I also just want to say, I really, like, just want to take a moment to, like, throw verbal daggers at Senator Susan Collins, who continues to be such a monumental coward. And she said about the Bolton report that it, quote, strengthens the case for witnesses and have prompted a number of conversations among my colleagues, which is, like, so classic. She's just sort of going to be like, well, that certainly strengthens the it's like
wishy-washy.
Oh my God, Maine, vote her out, please. Like, please. She has sold out women, and she's going to sell out the country on this. And we already know that she's going to do that. Vote her the fuck out,
please.
God. Also, interestingly enough, with Bolton, this is another reason why Mitch McConnell doesn't want to, like, give an inch on this, is if Bolton testifies, he will implicate other administration officials.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, there it is.
Pardon me. Ooh.
Gesundheit.
It happened.
It will definitely implicate Mike Pompeo, because he was on the call, with Zelensky.
He's a dick. I want him to go down so bad.
Oh, me too.
He's such an asshat.
I hate him. He also has, like, not... because this was another thing that happened this week, but, well, we can get to it. But Marie Yovanovitch, when she was fired, Pompeo has refused to speak out publicly on her behalf at all, even though he has said... There is a great piece of audio with... Mary Louise Kelly at NPR, and she has this, like, interaction with Pompeo where she's like, respectfully, when have you defended Marie Yovanovitch? And he's like, I defend all of the State Department. I defend everyone. And she's like, respectfully, sir, could you point me to, like, any quote or statement? And he's like, that's all I'm going to say about that. And it's just like, you.
He's awful.
You're awful.
He's such trash.
But Bolton would also implicate Mick Mulvaney, who, by the way, it seems like 100 years ago, but he actually stood up during a press briefing and said it was a quid pro quo. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's a quid pro quo.
Oh, my God. And he was also present for calls where Trump and Giuliani apparently were discussing Yovanovitch, according to Bolton. And then lastly... And possibly the worst of everyone, Attorney General Bill Barr, who was mentioned on the call with Zelensky in July. And we know that Barr is essentially like a Trump administration official. He's a Trump toady. Mm-hmm. He aligns his strategy, as does Mitch McConnell, with Trump, which is, like, not what the attorney general is supposed to do. He's supposed to be separate.
Yeah.
So is the Senate. Duh, motherfuckers. Oh, God, what a time to be alive.
Truly.
Like, if you're arguing... Yeah, I mean... The fact that we're having a conversation, there are witnesses who directly contradict the president and are in a position like a national security advisor who would be able to speak to that intelligently and say, I will testify. And senators on one side of the aisle are plugging their ears.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Give me an argument as to why that makes any sense.
It doesn't. We should all be outraged.
We really should. We should be, like, Hong Kong, like, storming the streets.
But it's just, like, I think people are just, like, that support Trump and whatnot. They're like, oh, well, they shouldn't call any more witnesses because it's just a witch hunt. It's just wasting time. You know, it's just... People are very, very sure that he's a great prez, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if he committed some little crimes. He had to. It's fine. Whatever. Who cares?
And then, I mean, another thing that just struck me, too, about the... Because I'm still just... It really like makes my stomach turn when I think about the like pearl clutching of like Lisa Murkowski and mm-hmm. other people who are saying like, oh, the idea of saying that our heads would be on spikes, which by the way was like just a quote about the White House saying that.
Yeah.
But the idea that you would get all upset about that when I think it was the same day, but it might have been something around that time. But this was in the last week, mm-hmm. that story about in the recording, the video recording of Trump saying with a dinner with Lev Parnas.
Yeah.
That guy who he says, I don't know him. I never met him.
Yeah.
Get her out. Take her out.
Yeah.
Take her down.
Talking about
Marie
taking
Vanovich.
Her out of her post.
Right.
And it's recorded. And it's very clear.
Very clear.
Very clear what's happening. Yeah. Literally says, take her out.
Take her out. And it's like, this is someone who at the beginning of the conversation, he didn't know who she was. So great.
Yeah.
And then all it took was like Lev Parnas mm-hmm. hurting his ego and yeah. and sort of being like, oh, she said,
he get rid of her.
Literally no side conversations, no fact finding. Mm-hmm. Take her out.
Nope. Yeah.
That doesn't bother Republicans in the Senate at all. And maybe doesn't indicate that there should be a fact finding mission or like an yeah. effort to get witnesses. Why are they protecting him?
I don't know. And why it's depressing how many of them just don't seem to care what happened and just want to stay in power
yeah.
at whatever cost. It's like pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Pretty disheartening, pretty depressing.
I've been going through with some friends, the Harry Potters again,
mm-hmm.
and we're about to get to the fifth book where mm-hmm. Voldemort's back, and it's really, I remember the first time watching the Harry Potters and yeah. reading them, being so upset at Cornelius Fudge and just being kind of like, it's hard to believe, mm-hmm. even in a story, that you would ignore what's obvious, like that Voldemort's back and he's
yeah.
killing people. And
you said his name.
The blindness, yeah. He who must not be named. But I feel like this moment that we're in is just kind of a mirror image of that.
Yeah.
Like, there is a corrupt, evil, amoral, dangerous person mm-hmm. who has committed so many crimes. I mean, really. And
so
we're
many.
Just focusing on this one that's so yeah. obvious.
Yeah.
And you have a whole set of people in power, and they mm-hmm. do not represent the majority, and they're telling you that up is down and that red is white.
Yeah.
And it wears on a person.
Yeah. It's awful. And it's just this feeling that there's probably not going to be any justice. It's too bad.
Yeah.
It's too bad, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Apparently Michael Moore was saying that, like, he has some semblance of hope that Trump will be found, you know, culpable of all the charges because he thinks that there could be some people with, like, religious moral conscience in the Republican Party who would come forward, and then mm-hmm. some people who would be afraid of losing their seats. It's like between those two, we could maybe get 20, but like, I don't know.
It's just, it's not looking good.
No,
we can't even have
four.
A few people to suggest, like, to be okay with witnesses.
Yeah.
I think that exposes Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Joni Ernst was supposed to be one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy in Colorado? I'm forgetting his name. Lamar Alexander, mm-hmm. Cody Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some like vulnerable Republicans.
Yeah.
And in those moderate states, I think they actually could say, hey, I was a fair senator in this process.
Mm-hmm.
I called for witnesses and I went with what I saw, which was that the president committed an impeachable offense. And I think that there are a lot of mm-hmm. middle of the road, like
yeah.
blue Democrats and moderate Republicans who would mm-hmm. vote that person back into office.
Yeah, I think so.
But it requires a fucking little bit of bravery.
A tiny bit of a spine. Just a touch of a spine.
I mean, yeah.
But fingers crossed, who knows?
Ugh.
It's the been a wild 2020 so far, babies.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, there was talk of Giuliani being just, like, a shiny object to distract. Mm-hmm. Jane, another lawyer for Trump, Jane Raskin, said that Giuliani was a shiny object and that he, like, wasn't important in any of, in mm-hmm. any of the... in any of the talks with Russia,
yeah.
when in fact it's like obvious from all of the like testimony mm-hmm. that Giuliani's name not only comes up many, many times
constantly.
In that conversation, but that Giuliani was operating a shadow foreign government
yeah.
on behalf of Trump, and he's not a minor player. And oh, and his that his name, it came up six times during Trump's phone call with Zelensky on the 25th. And they were all pretty significant ways, like, and, you know, yeah. One of the times they came up at the same time as, like, Bill Barr. So it's just, it, don't get up there. Like, the Republicans will get up there and tell you A is B.
Yeah.
Giuliani is a shiny object, not relevant, not a valid, like, they're just trying to distract
no,
you. No, just, he's a central part of this.
It's such a fucking smoke show. They're
yeah.
just, like, dropping names here and there, just pulling shit out of their asses, just, yeah, exactly, try and distract people. It's, Rudy Giuliani has been very involved, and he's so stupid and volatile. It's just, God.
Yeah.
Like, when he, like, pocket dialed a reporter, like, oh, dude.
Oh, my God,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, dude. Oh, dude.
Thankfully, he has his own podcast now.
Thank
so.
God. Oh, what's it called? It's got some stupid name, doesn't it?
I forget.
It?
The pod where it happens? Ha ha. God.
Let's see. Rudy Giuliani podcast. Rudycast?
Wow.
Maybe.
Original.
I can't quite tell. The Patriot Hour? I don't know. Anyway, he's awful.
Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Rudycast. All right, no. Anything else in the impeach world?
I think just that it's... Things are evolving quickly, so...
Oh, so quickly.
You know, you're forgiven. Everyone's forgiven for being confused. I think that's part of what Republicans use to their advantage and have throughout this whole presidency of Trump's, which is mm-hmm. there's widespread confusion because people understandably don't have the time in their lives to investigate every single thing. When they're reading something on CNN,
mm-hmm.
they're expecting it to be, like, an approximation of the truth of facts
yeah.
in the best way it could possibly
be. That'd
be
ideal.
But unfortunately, there are lots of people on CNN and other places where they're overworked too, and mm-hmm. they're trying to get you to click on the article, and some of their analysis could mm-hmm. be really like analysis from like a sixth grader. And it's just, it's a really scary time. It's hard not to to be cynical, but I will really try
yeah.
to not.
We'll try our darndest.
Yeah.
At least the trial's underway.
Yeah.
Not that far.
It's happening.
It's happening.
John Roberts is there.
Yep.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Johnny
birthday.
Ugh.
Anyway.
And
now
right
for we see you.
Okie dokie. South Dakota Republican State Representative Fred Deutsch, spelled D-E-U-T-S-H. T-S-C-H. I'm going to assume the pronunciation
is Deutsch.
Yeah, but we're going to call him Fred Deutsch today.
I'm down with that.
It has to be Deutsch.
Yeah.
So Fred Deutsch proposed a bill that would make it a felony for doctors to prescribe hormone blockers and hormone therapy to kids under 16 years old. There is a copious amount of research that has found that not only are hormone therapy and puberty blockers safe and reversible, providing these services to trans kids dramatically reduces their risk of dying by suicide. So in an interview with noted bigot Tony Perkins, Fred Deutsch explained his position and compared giving puberty blockers to Nazi medical experiments. He said, to me, that's a crime against humanity when these procedures are done by these so-called doctors. He described trans-affirming care as mutilation. He said, you know, I'm the son of a Holocaust survivor, and I've seen the pictures of the bizarre medical experiments. I don't want that to happen to our kids, and that's what's going on right now.
Ugh.
Yeah, totally. Giving kids gender-affirming treatment is the same as injecting dye into their eyes or removing their eyes without anesthetic and then killing them and their twin siblings to compare the results. Totally the same thing. This bill and these statements by Fred Douche aren't the first dance he's had with transphobia. He was also one of the sponsors of South Dakota's 2016 bill that banned trans students from using the bathroom that corresponded to their gender identity. He said, quote, I developed the bill because I don't want my four daughters to shower with people with male anatomy. Alrighty. So the South Dakota House will vote on HB 1057 tomorrow. And if it becomes law, thankfully the ACLU said that they will challenge it in court.
Ugh.
Fred Douche, sit your ass down and stop trying to police trans people's bodies. We see you.
Ugh, we see you.
Insane.
Ugh. Okay. Well. My first we see you is the Parchman Prison in Mississippi. So 9 inmates have died in prison so far, in this prison so far this year. This year, and it is January 28th. So that means on average someone has died there once every 3 days. What the fuck? What the fuck is going on? A couple of people were killed in altercations last week. So there's the leading cause of death generally in prisons is suicide, but on average, 5,200 people mm-hmm. per year are killed in prison in some way, which is really terrifying. So thankfully, the commissioner of this Parchman prison is stepping down amid all of these widespread concerns, so that's good. But she is stepping down to take a job in the private sector, so it's like, I bet she's getting paid more to, like, be more destructive and mm-hmm. influential, so great. But this, I just wanted to shed some light on this. It doesn't seem like there's much money or resources going to this prison in Parchman Prison in Mississippi. This place was ruled unsafe to house prisoners a few years ago and continues to have infrastructure problems in addition to notorious violence. There are roughly 3,600 people in this prison out of Mississippi's 19,000 inmates. And Mississippi is one of the states with the highest incarceration rates. So this is just super concerning. Heading on over to the Marshall Project, they have a lot of different lists that talk about deaths in different county prisons, and lots of families trying to seek answers and justice for people who were killed in custody in different ways. So this is a widespread problem, and I just wanted to take a second to acknowledge it through the incredibly chilling statistic that that 9 people have died in one prison in Mississippi in the last 28 days of this year.
Yeah,
we see you.
Unbelievable. Alrighty, a 22-year-old woman named Tia Jackson was on a Spirit Airlines flight from Detroit to Atlanta. Spirit Airlines, we know it's not going to be good. While she was resting, she said she noticed the man next to her touch her thigh. She moved away, but says that once she did, quote, he slid his hands in my pants, and then he touched my thigh and then part of my butt. She said that he was also pleasuring himself beneath his jacket. When she told a flight attendant what had happened, Jackson said she was told, quote, if he keeps touching you, you should move. Excuse me? So she reports a sexual assault, and the response by Spirit is to make her change seats. And also she said that she was traveling with a friend, so if she did move seats, she'd be leaving her friend with the guy.
Yeah. Great.
And this wasn't an isolated experience either. In 2014, 38 reported cases of in-flight sexual assault were reported. In 2017, there were 63 cases reported. And those are just reported cases. When I was 17 on a flight, the man next to me grabbed my thigh several times, and I never reported it or complained. At the time, I told myself he must be a nervous flyer. totally, just give him benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Totes. There seems to be nowhere that sexual predators don't feel empowered to commit their offenses, and on a plane when she has nowhere to go is particularly cowardly. We see you to Spirit Airlines for their lackluster response, and to the man who assaulted Tia Jackson.
We see you.
Been seen.
All right, so we see you to Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White, who asked that all satanic pregnancies miscarry right now. She called upon Jesus, actually, to do that, so...
Is that what Jesus would do, I guess?
Like, so many questions, but definitely first and foremost, like, what defines a demonically conceived baby? Like, I mean, I'm assuming...
IDK.
It probably ranges from things like rape and incest to adultery or babies born to liberal families or immigrants, like... The promise of justification of endless bigotry based on something batshit that sounds like it came out of the crucible. Oh, I love it.
Live for it.
Oh, my God. One need hardly add that this doesn't sound very pro-life. All lives deserve a chance. All lives matter. But this person is advising our very soft-brained president. So that is... upsetting on its own.
Yeah.
And Paula White said that this was taken out of context for political gain, which is just not true. The context, here's the context. In the name of Jesus, we command all satanic pregnancies to miscarry right now. We declare that anything that's been conceived in satanic wombs...
Satanic wombs!
Yeah.
Oh.
Vagina dentata?
Yes.
That it'll miscarry. It will not be able to carry forth any plans of destruction, any plan of harm. Where to begin with this? I mean, she leads the White House Faith and Opportunity Initiative. She advises the president. And... she's calling for the miscarriage of just an unknown amount of babies. It's actually incredibly upsetting.
Satanic wombs, though.
When we all have to be lectured by people like Mike Pence on life and beginning at conception and his, proselytizing of his faith. We know Trump doesn't, have any faith, but he just sort of, poops all over everything. And
yeah. So your book's the Bible.
Yeah. God. So this is just... There are so many people that surround Trump that just say incredibly upsetting things all the time, but this really feels like... A Handmaid's Tale situation, because who gets to decide, what are demonically conceived babies and what are their demonic plans? And it just leads to a lot of fun hypotheticals, which if you're going to be in this whole, demon preaching.
Mm-hmm. Burn the witch.
I'm very interested in the rest of what you think. And by interested, I mean... I hate you. And you shouldn't hold public... You should not be any part of the public discussion. Go have your faith somewhere else, and definitely it ends where my space begins.
Where your satanic womb begins.
Where my satanic womb begins, you stay out of the way. Because we're going to be getting up to all sorts of nonsense.
Yes.
Me and my satanic offspring.
Love that for you.
Anyway, Paula White, we fucking see you.
See you. All right, Eustachio Gales is a Canadian man who was convicted of murder in 2004 for beating his wife to death with a hammer.
Oh.
Yep, sounds like a cool guy. He was on parole, and his parole officer allowed him to visit sex workers unsupervised in order to, quote, address his sexual needs. Ugh. Well, Eustachio was banned from a sex work establishment for being too violent. And then on January 22nd, he met up with a sex worker in a hotel and he killed her. She was 22 years old and her name was Mary Lynn Levesque. I'm all for rehabilitation, but why would someone with such a violent history towards women be allowed and encouraged to visit sex workers by themselves?
Yeah.
Sex, right? Like, sex workers are human beings, and they should be entitled to working and living safely, not subjected to men like Eustachio Galeste. We see you to Eustachio Galeste for treating the lives of women with such callousness, and to his parole officer for failing to protect Mary Lynn from Eustachio's violence.
Yeah. Fan.
Preventable.
Oh my gosh. So preventable. We see you. Okay. We see you to the 90th birthday comic celebration, quote unquote, of Nancy Drew. You know, a beloved sleuth for generations of women, young girls. And this new comic is celebrated by killing Nancy Drew off so that the Hardy Boys can investigate her murder instead.
I can't with this. I'm so mad about it.
The image that they've released of this series shows the Hardy Boys standing over her grave.
I just...
like...
it's so weird.
It's so weird. It's... it's really, I mean, how can you, you can't separate misogyny from this. Like, you're taking the lead female who has survived like 50 plus stories where she gets into all sorts of danger, and you're killing her off so that a different, you know, series of boys can investigate her murder so she's not a character? This is how you're celebrating her?
Yay!
This, okay, like, if this was going to be a Hardy Boy celebration, I would still be like, why do we have to kill her?
Why do we have to kill Nancy Drew?
But I guess, like, I would... it would at least not have this, like, incredibly upsetting.
Yeah.
Like, why on top of everything else are we supposed to put up with this being the 90th anniversary celebration of Nancy Drew?
Killer.
It's, and she was, she's so important. Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Hillary Clinton and a lot of other women have listed that she was influential to them growing up. And this is just, not the way to do it. And of course it's being written by a man. He's a white man from this picture, just from my quick googs. And he said he was, quote, very surprised by the blowback to his upcoming comic book series. And apparently, like, this is, it's not all that meets the eye. So, like, maybe she won't be dead, but like,
maybe she'll kill the Hardy Boys.
Well, regardless, the marketing of this is fucked up. Like, if we're giving them the widest benefit of the doubt, and she is back, like, in the first couple of minutes or something, which is, like, the only way that they could even be on a path to redeeming themselves, it's still totally screwed up that you would be marketing it as, like, essentially, like, the Hardy Boys and no speaking role for Nancy Drew in this book, comic series. Like, just... good Lord. We see you.
It's so fucked.
Let's pass the ERA, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Or we could just kill Nancy Drew. That's how I like to celebrate women. I like to kill literary heroes.
Oh, my God.
Just fun for me. So you had a good thing, my dear.
Yeah.
Close all this bullshit out with.
Yeah. My good thing, of course, as with many good things, like, could be turned into a bad thing because it'll probably be appealed to the Supreme Court, which is conservative. It's probably going to just be overturned. But with all of that, the 9th U.S. Circuit Court struck down voting restrictions in Arizona, ruling that they were discriminatory towards American Indians and Hispanic and African American citizens. They said specifically that this practice of discarding ballots not cast at a voter's assigned precinct had a discriminatory impact on certain communities. So it violated the Voting Rights Act. What little bit of it is fucking left? The court also said that this Arizona law that banned collection of absentee ballots by third parties had a discriminatory intent, making it a violation of both the Voting Rights Act and the 15th Amendment, as well as having a discriminatory impact. So I think it's good whenever there are, whenever we're knocking down voting restrictions, because, and there's been a lot of interesting data on this, but there's like approximately no cases of actual voter fraud. Some that are like referred to the Attorney General's office for voter fraud are frequently actually almost entirely voter confusion. There was a really interesting interview with, I think it was like the Secretary of State of Maine, who was on Kris Kobach's like very brief voter fraud panel or committee that was appointed by Trump, because remember how he said, just as a fun throwback lie from the president?
TBT.
Remember when he said that 3 to 4 million people voted illegally and otherwise he would have won the popular vote? And like, I guess that just was a statement that was allowed to happen.
Yeah.
So then he had that voter panel with Kris Kobach. He's one of our longtime We See Yous, a real berk, real asshole. Anyway, this guy from Maine was talking about how the couple of cases in his like 14 or 15 years were where they referred to the Attorney General like a possible voter fraud case, they were both cases of voter confusion. And this is two cases in 15 years in Maine.
Yeah.
And that is actually representative of the whole country in that, like, there's not voter fraud, but because voter, like, there's widespread confusion, sometimes there's voter confusion.
Right, mistakes, yeah.
There are mistakes. They're human. It's human, and you fix them, and you say, hey, this is, like, technically voter fraud, so don't do it again. Be careful. Anyway, but good job, Arizona.
Yay, Arizona did a good...
They did a good thing. I know. The good thing's buried in there somewhere, guys.
Pick it out. Pick out the little morsel.
Yeah. It's less work that, like, Stacey Abrams and the Fair Fight have to do this year, because they're, you know, if anyone wants to throw a good cause money, it's definitely, like, Fair Fight 2020, which is led by Stacey Abrams of Georgia. Remember how she lost to Secretary of State Brian Kemp because he controlled the whole method of voting and was able to purge hundreds of thousands of people. Okay.
All right. Good things. Yeah.
Good thing. This was the good thing.
TTYL, beautiful baby.
Yeah.
Come back at you next week after Iowa.
Iowa. Ooh. Oh, my God.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
We're spending our weekend on an island.
Yeah, we are.
So
celebrate your birthday.
Yeah. But, it's our birthday month for both of us.
Yeah, well.
Within this, like, technically two different months, but like
within a month.
Within a month period.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty cool, pretty cool.
Cheese will be eaten.
Cheese will be having.
Wine will be drunk.
Cheese will be having. Yes, yes. We'll be having, and then we'll tune into Iowa, and I guess Pete will bring the chips and salsa.
Yeah, maybe something for breakfast.
What was he so sure about?
That's bizarre.
I'm gonna fucking nail this question if it's a breakfast cookout. Honey, no.
When has there ever been a breakfast cookout?
Is that just like outdoor brunch? I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, anyway. We'll see you all next week.
TTYL.